God bless you. This month of March, we're going to finish what we started with in the year. We're going to have three more sessions. And I will finish this with March, Deliverance from Strongholds, Part 5, 6, and 7, which is today, today, next week, and the upper week. And basically, today we are looking at overcoming the work of evil spirits, Part 1. Next week, we'll look at seated with Christ. And the third week, we'll look at overcoming the evil spirits, Part 2. Okay? Just talk to God today and pray for light and understand. That's one prayer you cannot exhaust. The prayer that says, Lord, give me light. In the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know, you've already been set free by Jesus. But for you to experience that freedom in your daily life, you need to know the truth. That truth we're talking about is not just head knowledge. It's revelation knowledge. Another word for revelation is light and understanding. There are people that come to church, you know, all the time, but they're not growing. They're learning to the way church works, but they're not growing because their heart is not open to the Word of God. But today, I want you to open your heart and say, Lord God, give me light. Already when you're praying that prayer, you're telling God you are willing to change according to the light. You don't want to remain the same, you know. No matter what you hear, if you're not willing, you can go nowhere. Say, Lord, give me light and understanding today. A light that and understanding that will change the way I live and release me into the greater things that you have for me. I want you to pray that prayer to God. Thank you, Father God, for hearing us. For in Jesus' name, we've prayed. And the church said, Amen. Hallelujah. You know, before we move into the main message, just read this word in my heart. You know, God has great plans for your life. You know, it doesn't matter where you are today. Many times you are measuring your life by the pride of life and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. Let me say it in a better way. You're measuring your life by the things that you own and the things you have achieved. Yeah? And your goals, your ambitions, your plans for the future. But God does not measure your life like that. Before you came into this world, God knew you. As you are now, God has put some talents in you. You were born with them. You didn't go to school to learn them. They are part of you. Okay? So God has put some calling on your life. There are some things that God wants you to achieve in this life. And what I found out in my work with God is that God's plan for you is bigger and greater than your plan. And God's plans for you are the plans that can bring you peace and fulfillment. He said in the world, you have tribulation, toil. The life of man is toil and labor. But he can give you peace. It's not a peace in which you are doing nothing. But it's a peace in which you are finding fulfillment. Amen. Peace is not the absence of trouble. Peace is rest in the midst of the storms. Hallelujah. And many, it will amaze you that many believers, you know, they don't attain up to 10% of God's plan for their life. And the reason is because they are bounded by, you know, worldliness, the things of the world, the competition of the world. The world is there to make sure you don't achieve and fulfill your destiny. And if your goal is to compete with the world, you may achieve something, but you will not reach 10%. There are greater things that God has for your life. When we enter into eternity, many of the things you are chasing now will not matter. What will matter is how you lived your life to do what God planned for you. Amen? And you say, well, what is God's plan? God's plan is that you can be a blessing. Amen? God wants to use you. Yeah? As an extension, like a channel. God wants you as his own channel. God wants to flow through you. He wants his power to flow through you. He wants his love to what? Flow through you. The
There are many people in this world that they are oppressed, they are afflicted. Yeah? You are the solution to somebody's problem. And I tell you, that person may not be your family member. It may not be your best friend. But there are people in this world that God sent you here to solve their problem. There are people in this world that God sent you to be used as a tool that will deliver them. There are people that God will use you to be the one to bring laughter and joy on their faces. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes you may look back and say, well, "What? You know, God is there. Why does he allow the devil to oppress and afflict people? And, you know, why do bad things happen?" Yeah? God is not disconnected. The problem is that we are not functioning. He said, you are the light of the world. If I'm the light of... Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light. But as soon as he's gone, who is the light now? You. Because why? Jesus lives in you. We are the body of Christ. Anything Jesus will do in this world today, he's going to do it through the church or through individual believers. Hallelujah. The world will be a better place if we let our light shine. Hallelujah. That is not just in having a good behavior. It's in the things I do as I yield to God to set the captives free. Hallelujah. As a pastor, if I'm flowing the power of God and people come to me and I pray for them and they are healed, you see, I'm functioning. I'm chasing away the darkness of sickness and disease. Now, does this just belong to pastor? It belongs to you. He said, you are the salt. Well, yes, the world is in a bad place. It's broken. But salt brings healing and preservation. We are the salt. See, just say, I'm the light. And I'm the salt. And I refuse to be lukewarm. Hallelujah. You see, the devil cannot stop you from going to heaven. His next goal is to make you useless to the kingdom. Say, if I can just make effort. You don't know that you are functioning at 3%. That's why the Bible says that in heaven, it will wipe the tears away. Because there will be tears. And the tears are tears of, I could have been much more. Hallelujah. But my prayer is that that will not be your portion. You may not achieve 100%. What is 70? Amen? Not 3. Not 3%. So you say 3% is not my portion. The only time I will allow you to have 3% is if you are taking a loan. Yeah? Interest rate. Hallelujah. Before we go, deliverance from struggles, part 5. Open your Bible to Mark 11. I have a special message from God for you. And I will still teach this again because I want us to get it. And then after Mark 11, we will move. I'll give some questions that will help you understand how to overcome. Mark 11, let's read verse 22 to verse 24. Mark 11, verse 22 to verse 24. Okay, will be my first reader today. All right? Mark 11, verse 22 to verse 24.
So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray,
yes.
Believe that you receive them.
Believe that you receive them.
And you will have them.
You will. That's future, yeah? You will have them. But you have to believe that you receive them now. And then you will have them, yeah? Sometime soon. Now, the question I believe that, you know, the point I feel the Holy Spirit wants to emphasize to us is this. When are you going to start believing that God has heard your prayer? It's something in your life you've been praying about. Every time you are praying. Yeah? When are you going to move from that point and believe that you have received it? Because whatever you ask when you pray, that's stage one. Believe that you receive it. Then you shall have it. Now, I understand
Because, you know, I remember a question in the Second Home Fellowship in Sister Yemi's house that was asked and say, you know, like in today's world, you know, when you're not well, you know, many people, the first thing, you just go to the doctors. Yeah? And I remember that question, like, you know, can you go to the doctors and still use your faith? The answer is absolutely yes. In fact, we are all doing that. Amen? Hallelujah. Faith is not racist. It doesn't discriminate. Hallelujah. Whatever your level of faith, God will meet you there. Amen? But the reason why you're not seeing more supernatural healing is because we have gotten used to the alternative solution. There's unbelief because of the alternative. If there was no alternative, your faith in healing will be higher because the consequences will push you. Are you with me? Now, so when you pray, it is understandable that because of the unbelief around, there's a lot of unbelief around, you may struggle, especially if what you're praying for is something, you know, big or difficult. You may struggle to move from when you pray to a point that you believe that you have received. Yeah? But if you continue to remain at the point of praying, you are not yet in full faith. Amen? See, Jesus was walking on the water. Peter saw him. And not just in the water, there was a storm. He was walking. He said, Lord, if it's you, that's a prayer now. If it's you, bid me to come. Then Jesus told him, what? So that's the end of the prayer part. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, at that point, if he didn't believe that he had received the answer to that prayer, he's not going to step out on that water. He's going to say, Lord, I'm praying. Make me walk on this water. In fact, Lord, if you really answer my prayer, just make me walk. I don't want to move anything. You move me. Hallelujah. Yeah? God doesn't move you. He gave you free will. Amen? Yeah? Hallelujah. God doesn't move you. He tells you to move. Hallelujah. But when he believed that he had received it, he stepped out. Started walking. Yeah? But as a stage, he kept his focus of Jesus and began to consider the winds and the waves. And the Bible says that when he did that, he started to sink. And then Jesus reached out. That's mercy. Hallelujah. And caught him. Thank God for the mercy of God. Nobody will stand without mercy. Yeah? How many times have you thought, I know it, I know it, I know what I'm doing? Yeah? And then you hit the rocks. But it's mercy. Pulled you back. Amen? And so, Jesus caught him. But listen to what he said. He said, why did you doubt? Amen? You see, there are some breakthroughs in your life that you are trusting God for. You have prayed. Someone has even prayed for you. Yeah? But the problem why you don't have that breakthrough is that you never left the land of prayer. Amen? We are to continue to pray, but that doesn't mean we are to continue to repeat the same thing over and over again to God as though it was deaf. Hallelujah. At some point, you must be able to move to the next phase of that. I believe that I have what? Received it. Now, what you need to do, why you need to do that, sorry, is because sometimes the symptoms don't stop immediately. Huh? That's why you need faith. The proof of your faith is that you can confront your symptoms. Yeah? With your faith. Hallelujah. I believe that I received it. I believe that what? I have received it. But when I go back and start doubting and say, well, maybe it's this, maybe it's that, maybe it's this, I'm no longer in solid faith. Hallelujah. And there are some victories in your life you will never get until you believe that what? You have received it. When I believe I have received it, as far as I'm concerned, it's mine. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. And all the time,
It is not until the physical evidence shows up that you believe that you have received it. You don't need faith then. Amen? When the physical evidence showed up, you don't need faith again. You just need thanksgiving. Hallelujah. I'm asking Statoni for £50. Maybe she was busy. I left a text. No reply. Called her. No reply. But then finally I get through and say, don't worry. I will give you the money. At that point, once there's a promise, hallelujah, once I can connect to the promise, it's a done deal. Let me give an example. I have a cousin in Nigeria, and the Lord ministered to me to minister to some need in her life. So towards the end of last year, I picked up the phone and I called her. And I said, I'm going to send you some money in 2019. She did not initiate it. I did. Then, to prove it again, I gave her some little money. But I'm going to send you more. Hallelujah. It's a promise. And I said, don't bother calling me too much. I will do it. Hallelujah. Since the beginning of the year, she has been calling me every week. I don't pick. If you call me every week, it doesn't change my promise. Hallelujah. I promise you. You have to believe that what? You have received it. Fine, you can call me once a month. But if you like call me every day, it doesn't change anything. In fact, actually, I won't even talk to you. Don't think that if you are calling me, that will make me not forget. I promise independently. There are many things that God has promised you independently. Before you were born, it's already there. So when you have prayed, I understand that you may need to pray for some time. But after a while, you have prayed, they've prayed for you, they've laid hands on you. Believe! Believe! You have to believe. Now when you believe that you have received something, you now enter into rest. Hallelujah. Rest is a proof of faith. I've prayed about something. Yes, the symptoms are not confirming, but I now believe that it cannot go any other way. I've engaged with God. I've made a connection to the promise. I understand it. I've engaged with it. It's mine. I say, well, Pastor, what's up? I said, don't worry about that one. That is just a fading symptom. It will fade. I believe that what? I have received it. Hallelujah. That's faith. True faith without rest is not faith. When you are in true faith, you must enter into what? Rest. When you are still panicking, helter skelter. Say, oh, maybe it's this. Oh, maybe let's try this. Hello? Praise the Lord. It's a problem of the unbelief. I understand. You see, this is what we have to contend with. This is not God's problem. It's a problem of the world. The world is in unbelief. Yeah? Let's assume now, for example, that you have a health situation. Okay? And you are trusting God to heal you. You prayed. You fasted. Pastors laid down on you. Evangelist laid down on you. Prophet. Bible says, after having done all, stand. I'm reading Ephesians 6. He said, put on the whole armor of God. And after all, having done all, stand. You're supposed to be a point you reach that you take a stand that this thing, nothing can stop it. I have it now. The symptoms are not yet complete. I have it now. Because if you don't, every time you are panicking and guessing left and right, you are back in doubt. Hallelujah. You are changing something and changing something. Trying to say, oh, maybe it's this, maybe that. It happened to me. Yeah, it will delay your breakthrough. Yes, because you are creating room for unnecessary doubt. I say you fasted. Do you understand? You fasted. You've prayed. You've laid hands on yourself. They've laid hands on you. You've done everything. Say, after you've done everything, stand. Say, after having done all, stand. There must be a point you take a stand and say, it's mine. Hallelujah. I believe it. That's faith.
Hallelujah. Faith takes hold of the invisible based on the promise of God.
Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. And all the time. I thought I should communicate that. That's a rhema for someone. Acts chapter 10. Open to your Bible to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Acts chapter 10. We are looking at deliverance from strongholds. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. You see, for example, if someone is delivered from the work of an evil spirit, yeah? Of an evil spirit. If they don't believe that it's done, yeah? They'll be back there. Are you with me? Hello? You have been prayed for. You have been delivered. But if you don't believe that it is done, yeah? You may find yourself back there. Hallelujah. Because fear has torment. Hallelujah. Fear opens the door to Satan. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear. As I always say, so long it's not a matter of life and death. See, if you're in a matter of life and death and you're in an emergency, go to A&E. Praise the Lord. I say you're in emergency. I did not tell you not to go to the doctors. We have many doctors and nurses in this church. No. Go to A&E if you're in emergency. You understand? If you're in a physical emergency, you need to call police. Call police. You understand? If you need to call fire service. You know, a house is burning. There's raw fire. You are using your faith. Use your faith, but call fire service. Are you with me? But so long it's not an emergency, take your stand, my faith. If it's a symptom that will not kill, yeah? If it's a symptom that will not kill you, take your stand by faith and believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you will put the devil to flight. Don't keep praying about the same thing. You must reach a point you believe that you have received. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your prayer is to take you to that point that you believe that you have what? You have received. Hallelujah. Acts 10:38. Let's read it. Acts 10:38. Yes. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Yes, Sister Kemi.
How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth.
God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. What did he do with that anointing?
With the Holy Ghost and with power.
Hallelujah.
Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him.
Amen. Jesus went about what? What about good was he doing? He was healing all that were oppressed. And a bigger word for that is deliverance. Amen? Where there's oppression, what do you need? Deliverance. I believe that deliverance is a master word for everything God does for you. If you're in need and God answers your prayer, you are being delivered from that need. Amen? If someone is sick and they get ill, they are being delivered from sickness. If somebody is not born again, they are not saved, they don't know Jesus, and they get born again, they are being delivered from spiritual death. Hallelujah. Jesus went about what? Doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That one tells us one thing, that oppression is not from God. Where is it from? I think most people here, you know, maybe due to your ethnic background, you don't doubt that. There are people that believe that, you know, it's from God. God is just trying to, you know, help me grow. Well, if that was the case, grow fast. So that you don't stay there. Hallelujah. He said, God is just trying to teach me a lesson. That means you must be very stubborn. Learn fast. Hallelujah. It's the devil. It's the evil spirits that are behind oppression. Evil spirits, they oppress, they obsess, they dominate, they manipulate, they defile. Hallelujah. But Jesus goes to set the captives what? Hallelujah. So you're not helpless. This is just, I'm not helpless. The devil may be strong, but Jesus is a million times stronger. Hallelujah.
Don't know what is making that noise. Yeah. There's a speaker there. Yeah. And maybe there is an audio somewhere that is being picked. Or maybe somebody turned it off. But anyway, let's concentrate. We ignore it. A stronghold of the spirit is the work of evil spirits in the human life. And how do you know? It's not everything that is bad that is evil spirit, okay? A human being may slap someone. It doesn't have to involve an evil spirit. They got angry. Someone may like sleeping. It's not less the work of evil spirit. Although an evil spirit can be involved. If you are going to sleep 16 hours every day, you have trouble. That's not the will of God for you at all, I'm sure. Hallelujah. Abnormal, unnatural, unclean, controlling, dominating, manipulating, defiling, tormenting, enslaving, oppressive, obsessive, possessive. These are works of evil spirit. Amen? If it does not look normal, don't assume it is what? Normal. Amen? If it's unnatural, you know that there's a force trying to dominate you. Look, something, is trying to make you do what you don't want to do all the time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let me ask a question. Get you wake up. So examples of spiritual oppression, I just revising what we did last time, include physical illness, but not all physical illness is spiritual oppression, but physical illness can be, maybe 30%, 40% can be, mental illness, not all. But some can be. Sometimes mental illness is just a function of, bad circumstances. Things have gone very bad in someone's life, and they flip over, they lose it. You understand? It's not necessarily, but it can be. Terminal illness. About half of them can be the work of evil spirits. Depression, obsession, allergy, early death. In the family, everybody just dies. At 40, that's abnormal. Amen. Suicide can be the work of evil spirit, but at least half of them are, probably more than half. Addiction can be, and it may not be. Addiction can just be flesh. You like ice cream, yeah, and you just like have the craving. You understand? It can just be you, but it can also be an evil spirit. Perversion. Most perversions are. Barrenness, unfruitfulness, not all cases, but it can be. Spiritual blindness, fear. Fear can be natural, but it can also be the work. I just say anything that has a strong pattern that looks unnatural, there's an external force trying to enforce that, and it's not God. Confusion, disharmony. Maybe there's a confusion, disharmony in a home. They just continuous fight. And you are Christians. Yeah? You need to suspect the devil. You need to suspect the devil. Yeah? Violence, war. You can see that's why the human race is always moving from one war to another. Thank God that this fight between Pakistan and India has not escalated now. Yeah? It's not just human beings. Yeah? There are evil spirits trying to enforce war between nations. Always. And that's why we should pray. Stagnancy, backwardness. You are trying to move forward. You are making all the effort, but nothing is shifty ground. Yeah? It can be. And it may not be, but it can. Not in all cases. The important thing that don't assume everything you see is the devil. The devil is not bigger than God. God made the devil, but he didn't make him as devil. He made him as a good angel, but he rebelled. But he's still a created being. God is not in the same class as the devil. God is infinitely bigger than the devil. Hallelujah. And Jesus Christ defeated Satan on the cross. Let me just finish that list. Backwardness, poverty, bondage, nightmares, prevailing. It's not every nightmare you have that is working with the devil. But if you're having nightmare every single day, you cannot sleep more than 1 hour per day. It's a problem. Amen? And it's not God. Hallelujah. So we move forward now. How can you expel or stop the work of an evil spirit in your life first? Because most people say, "Is I want to cast out devils." They are thinking of somebody else. Now, I've explained this before. Casting out a devil does not mean you are possessed. If you are a Christian, you cannot be possessed by an evil spirit. I want to sort that out again. When you are born again, what happens to you? You receive Jesus into your heart, your spirit. Huh? He lives there through the Holy Spirit. So there's no room for any demon in your spirit. You cannot, remember what I said, cannot, hallelujah, be possessed if you are a true believer. Because you're already possessed. Say, I'm already possessed by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah! You need to understand that. You need to believe it. Because that's the truth. Hallelujah. But you have a mind and you also have a body. Yeah? The Holy Spirit lives in your spirit. Hallelujah. And of course, if you submit your mind and your body to the Holy Spirit, it will dominate you there. But you also have the free will to allow your mind to wander and your body to be uncontrolled. Yeah? And when you do that, the devil can come in and oppress. He can oppress the body or the mind. Hallelujah. But he cannot possess. So the question I'm asking is for you first. So most of the time when you talk about casting out devils, they are talking about one madman. Yes, that applies. But in your life, if you see evidence of oppression or obsession, this is mind and body, not spirit. How can you kick the devil out? Yes, let's see some answers. How can you expel evil spirits from your life? How can you keep the devil out of your mind or your body? Now, when I'm asking this question, think about all the things I said that are spiritual oppression. How can you stop spiritual oppression in your life as a believer? Yes? There are many ways. Let's take some answers. Yes?
By shouting the name of Jesus.
By shouting, like, you know, like, you just shout it. And probably if you can get a microphone, will it be more effectively? Sister is busy. Yes. Would it be more effective if you use a microphone? Thank you. That's a good answer. Although I will break it down. Go on.
By occupying your mind with the word of God.
By occupying your mind with the word of God. Yes. Good answers. You want to disrupt and expel the work of an evil spirit in your life. That work is, it manifests as an oppression or an obsession. How can you do that? Yes. Because I tell you something, whether you like it or not, you are dealing with evil spirits. They are there unseen. They always, you know why you know you are dealing with them? They are always trying to manipulate. Anything in your life that is seriously trying to manipulate you and enforce something that is not good or godly. It's not God. And it's not angels. It's not only angels. Yes.
By accepting Holy Spirit into one's life.
Yes, by being born again. That's the first step. You know, so, let me tell you something. You know, someone who is not born again, yeah, is already under the dominion of darkness. It doesn't mean they are evil. Don't misunderstand me. They are good people that are not born again. But the devil can have them whenever he wants them. Because, you know why? Their house is empty. So there's room. Are you with me? Yeah? So, although, for example, God can heal someone who is not born again, God can save them, God can deliver them, but they need to occupy. If they keep it empty after that, yeah? The devil, you know, comes. Yes? More answers? You're welcome, Z? Z, you're welcome. Good to see you. Yeah? Go on.
Through prayer.
Through prayer, yes.
So when we pray for sanctification as well.
Yes, okay. Prayer. Yes. How can you expel or disrupt or, you know, clear the work of evil spirits in your life if they show up?
And
when I say, I'll just remind you, when I talk about the work of evil spirits, I'm talking about anything that looks like a spiritual oppression. Yeah? That includes sickness, disease, addiction. That includes poverty, barrenness, anything. Those are the things I'm talking about. Yes, go on.
Yeah, you can declare the word of God to the situation.
You can speak. We read Mark 11.
The it is written.
He said, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed. Yeah, so the first thing you need to say, but I don't think that's where we miss it. Some people don't say, so they've missed it. But he said, does not doubt in his heart, but believes. Someone say, believe. When you are speaking and you are giving a command, yeah, commanding something that is not of God to stop in your life, you need to believe that what you are saying will come to pass. Then you will have it. Amen? You can shout the name of Jesus and not have a deliverance. You know why? Because it's important to say or shout, but believe. Hallelujah. Don't just shout. Believe that what you are saying will come to what?
Pass.
Let me tell you the part. Let me explain that part. Because we said this many times, but I don't think we understand the application. The application is that when I believe that what I'm saying will come to pass, I will ignore any contradicting symptoms. That's what faith does. Amen? If I believe something, you know, it's like our prime minister. Yeah? Right now, in the issue of Brexit, prime minister believes that what she's doing is the right thing. Even if she loses all the votes in the world, she believes. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not saying that I support or oppose. I'm just saying that that's an example of someone who believes in what they are doing. Because the fact that you believe something does not mean it will not be challenged. Hello? You will believe it? Yeah, but the opposition does not want to give room, does it? Do they? No. So you stick to it. By the way, I'm not talking about prime minister now. I'm talking about you. When you're facing the devil, you issue your command in the name of Jesus. Believe! Please don't you never say believe. I think that's the word of God for us today. Yes, another one. Thank you. How can you expel or disrupt or stop the work of evil spirits in your life? And evil spirit manifests as oppression or obsession.
By confessing God's word over the situation?
Yeah, by speaking God's word. You have to speak out. Bible says, take up the shield of faith. Do this, you can stop all the fiery darts of the devil. I'm believing something, I see a symptom that is not good. That's why you need to know the word of God. It's not enough to be born again. Hello? If you are just born again, just believe in Jesus, yes, you might just narrowly make it to heaven, but you will suffer on earth. Because for you to be victorious in this life, you need the word of God in your spirit. It's not under your pillow. The word of God under your pillow is just a book. Are you with me? Yeah, it's an holy book. But that's not where the power is. Amen? The power of the word of God is when it's inside your heart. Hallelujah? That's where it has power. Inside you. Amen? And so you take that word. The devil shows up. Jesus said, well, it is written. I believe I taught you in this story. I used to think long time ago that that's the sword of the spirit. I know a lot of some people still teach that. But that's not the sword of that's the shield of faith. Amen? When the devil shows up to challenge you, and you take the word of God, the written word, against him, you are protecting your position. Amen? If you want to advance, which is the sword of the spirit, you need to hear. Amen? What he tells you is the secret to your advancement. He says, go there. Do this. That's what. Satan has no response to that. Hallelujah. He said, the words that I speak unto you, the rhema that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are what? Life. It brings advancement. And that's where prayer comes in. When you pray, let me just explain this as we're rounding up. When you pray, don't just think your prayer is to move God. Many things you are praying for, God already wants to do it. You're not trying to convince him. Hello? Please, you know, God is a good God. Say to yourself, God is totally good. And the devil is totally bad. There is no badness in God. Say that. And there's no goodness in the devil. Now listen to that. Say, I want you to believe this one. Listen to me. And say it. Say, the good hand of the good God is upon my life for good.
You have to believe it. You know why it's true? Because you are a child of God. If you're a child of God, God is committed to you. You can't beg him to be committed. Hello? My child, despite the fact I'm imperfect, does not need to beg me to be what? Committed. It's something that calls overflows from the relationship of my being a father to them. And I'm not perfect. God is already committed to you. God already wants to do good things in your life. You know that problem you have? God already wants to solve it. So your prayer is not to convince God to do what he didn't want to do. Amen? One of the benefits of your prayer is that you can hear. Hallelujah. You can hear what God is saying. Because one of the biggest problems you have in your life is unbelief. Amen? You say you believe, but you don't really believe. That's why you're panicking. I'm moving from pillar to post. Hallelujah. But when you hear God speak to you, you say, I'm not talking about an audible voice. Most of your life, God, even the biggest men of God, yeah, they can count the times that God has spoken to them audibly. You know why God doesn't do that? Because the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible. So when God wants to speak to you, you know where he speaks to you? In your heart. The inner voice. That's your greatest communication tool. Your conscience. That's what I mean. Your conscience is your communication box with God. Of course, if you add in your conscience, you will hear less. If every time God is speaking to you, you ignore him and you disobey him, your conscience gets harder. So you become less sensitive. Are you with me? But so long you are yielding and repenting. That's why I say, if you do wrong, just repent. If you need to repent 1 trillion times, repent it. It's okay. Hallelujah. You are still a baby spiritually. One day you will grow. Hallelujah. One day you will what? You will grow. So you, by repenting, you are keeping your conscience tender. Yeah? You are not going to fall over the cliff edge. If you learn to repent, yeah, you are not going to fall over the cliff edge where Satan can have total control. You say, God, I missed it. I'm sorry. But I would say that he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, the reason why you need to repent is that your conscience, that way, that inner voice and that inner witness, that's how God speaks to you. For most believers, 98% of your life, God will speak to you through what? Inner voice. How does the devil speak to you? When the devil wants to tempt you, does he come with audible voice? No. He will just suggest something to your mind. The devil does not have access to your spirit. He has access to your mind. Hallelujah. So when we pray, I want you to begin to expect to hear God tell you things. Simple things. Change that. Do this differently. Take this one off your life. Do more of this. That's your breakthrough. It's your breakthrough. Hallelujah. It's your breakthrough. What God is speaking to you in your heart is your breakthrough. That's the sword of the Spirit. That is what? This devil has no answer to the sword of the Spirit. None. When you receive the sword of the Spirit as Rhema, and you cooperate with it, you advance. Hallelujah. Time is gone. I need to stop there. We'll continue next time. So like in rounding up, I just want you to know that I think I will summarize to this message as believe. Hallelujah. Believe. Believe. Change the way you see yourself. How do you see things in the future? You are still waiting for God to answer your prayer. That means he has not answered it. Hello? I don't know whether you're with me. He says, sister, what are you doing? Sir, these 3 years, I'm still waiting for God to answer my prayer. That means he has not. Is he there? When are you going to start believing? The proof of your believing is that you enter into what? Rest. Yeah, you have moved from trying to get God to do it to the point whereby you know he has done it and you're just waiting. I know waiting can take some time, but you can be in rest. Hallelujah. Now, the symptoms may be negative, but I told you once it's not an emergency. Believe. And don't shift ground. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, what of that job? Say, it's coming. When are you going to start believe that it's done? Say, I know you don't have it, but you can believe that it's on the way. Because you don't have the power to make it happen, yeah? And you've been praying to God, he heard you because it's not deaf. Hallelujah. Believe that you have received it. Believe that what? You have received it. I mean, before you believe, pray. Are you with me? Before you can believe well, you need to have prayed. Yeah? You need to have spoken. But you must reach a point, a table land. Go and look for the meaning of table land. You have to reach a table land where you believe that you have received. Now, in the table land, there's rest. Hallelujah. In the table land, there's rest. Hallelujah. You are still in faith. You are not panicking. You are not running helter skelter. You are focusing, keeping your focus on Jesus, the one who will do it and take the glory. Hallelujah. I challenge you today. Whatever is showing up in your life, the day you make a decision that God is in that work and you believe it firmly, you can never lose that battle. What will be different is that you will enjoy rest on your journey to the promised land. Let's pray. Talk to God today. I want to just pray and say, Father, I'm sorry for living in doubt many times. Always worried, panicking, trying this, trying this one, trying that one. When I've prayed, Bible says, whatever you desire, whatever you ask God for when you pray, believe that you have received it. God is already committed to you. He already sent Jesus to die and pay the price. There's nothing good that he wants to withhold from your life. It's already written in his word, all these promises. Believe. I want you to say to that, say, in the name of Jesus, I cast out every spirit of fear from my life. I cast you out. I break your power. For fear is one of the greatest enemies of the human being. Fear is one of the greatest hindrances to answer prayer. I cast out the spirit of fear from my life. In the name of Jesus. I cast out doubt. The spirit of doubt from my life. In the name of Jesus Christ. I cast out the spirit of worry from my life. In the name of Jesus Christ. I take hold of the promises of God. I believe that God hears my prayer. I believe that the things that I've been asking God for, I believe that he has heard me. I believe that I've received my petition. I enter into rest. I rest in confidence that he will do that which I have besought him to do. I am not going to live my life in panicking. I'm not going to live my life helter skelter. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's rise up and just finish with that song, When the Oceans Rise. We just take the chorus, the last part. As you sing this song, you know, just sing it from your heart as a song of faith and rest. When you are established in faith, you enter rest. Amen.
Hide me now under your wings, under your wings.
Oceans rise.